As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Will, once again, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove in many places, but there is a revolution in the air, and I hope you'll be a part of it. And welcome to our Monday, August the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, my name is William Robertson. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. Might be a little light on the solutions basket. Might have to use our imagination, but there's solutions out there. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then, of course, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. What could be more philosophically radical than concentrating on an advance of freedom? Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call now. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. It's again BVL, like Become Vocal Local Host, @centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me the snail mail fashion, William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM out of Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. It just occurred to me that we might have others out there using their low-power AM and FM technology to broadcast this broadcast. If that's the case, if you're picking up this stream and carrying it to your local audiences, either live or in the archives, please send me an email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, and I'll be glad to include you on our list every morning as we read out those that are going the extra mile, doing the yeoman service, bringing the message of freedom, if you will, to their local listening audiences on AM and FM micro broadcasting stations. Again, our listener call-in number is and remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065, and of course your calls will be welcomed. Gold and silver strive to hold gains as the sucker rally in the stocks provides cover for the continuing decline in the global marketplace. We'll go into our market report here imminently. The Obama administration taking cues from the Jesuit playbook. Yes, Inquisition coming to U.S. soil. We'll talk about the Inquisition a little bit today. Our world from the air, conflict and adaptation. We'll go back and revisit with that a little bit further. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to the market reports for Monday, August the 10th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 hour ago. Gold was trading off $10.20 at $945.20 an ounce, dipping back below the 950 mark. Silver was off 31 cents, trading at $14.29. Platinum off 24 bucks, trading at $1,239 an ounce. And palladium losing $4 in morning trading, trading at $270 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far, 941.60 for a low, 958 for a high. Looking at about a $10 spread in there, somewhere in that vicinity. More than that, my goodness, Will, do your math. 18 bucks. But anyway, at $945.20, take heart, little flock. It's still up $90.30 year to year for a 10.56% return on your investment. We'll pick it up on the other side of this first break, continue the market reports, and get into all the news and your calls. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, August the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Yes, this is a live broadcast, unless you're listening to it on the replays. We're coming across OracleBroadcasting.com live and clear for you to this morning. Anyway, lots of that. Let's go back and finish up this market report. For Monday, August the 10th, 2009, the gold fixed today that stands at 953.50. I was looking at the screens here during the break, and we see that the stocks are dropping. The gold price is coming up a little bit, so there's going to be a lot of action in the marketplace today. But the boys over in London set the price of gold per ounce at 953.50 for the morning fix. I would imagine it'll trade somewhere there by noon. In the equity market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on Friday up 114 points. We see that it's dropping right now, but it closed on Friday at 93.70. The NASDAQ was up 27 points, closing out at 2,000. It's dropping as well in this morning trading. The S&P was up and closed by 13 on Friday at 1,010 points. The crude oil dropped so far in morning trading 68 cents, trading at $70.25 for one of those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude, trading at $70.25. The U.S. dollar index, the USDX, remember, we go back and look at this little basket of currencies. It's a weighted basket of currencies, but it was trading up one basis point, trading at 78.89. In the foreign exchange marketplace, has a lot to do with this dollar index. The Canadian dollar One's trading at 92 cents. It's off 36 basis points so far. The Mexican peso was up 26 basis points. May have had something to do with Barry the Usurper going down there and holding hands with Calderon, talking about opening up the southern border to trucking more. That's going to be the little bit of something we might talk about later in the broadcast, perhaps not. But anyway, the Mexican peso still trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro, a lot of news and noise in the marketplace this morning about the euro and over the weekend, but it just seems to be staying right where it has been for a while, off 11 basis points, trading at $1.42 U.S. The British pound, always the big winner here lately, but it's off 57 basis points, yet it's still trading at $1.66. So there's a lot of value, I guess you could say, as long as we're denominating everything in fiat reserve notes. There's a lot of value in those British pounds. They're $1.66 today. The Swiss franc, again, staying very close, like the parity between the Swiss franc and the Canadian dollar. They're almost pegged to each other. The Canadian dollar this morning, 92 cents. The Swiss franc, 92 cents as well. In the bond markets, the two-year bond is at 1.27%, the 10-year bond at 3.85%, and the 30 at 4.60%. I don't imagine we're going to have a whole lot of enthusiasm for buying bonds at that rate, but lots of bonds will be sold this week, so we'll have to watch that and see where it goes. In the mortgage markets, the 15-year mortgage from 1 month ago to today, unchanged at 4.94%. Of course, you're going to have to pay points on top of that to get your mortgages. But in the 30-year mortgage, we're starting to see a little bit of an increase, an uptick. Last month, it was 5.32%. This month, right now, we're looking at 5.53%. So it's going to cost you more money to get into a 30-year mortgage. Why would anyone do it? Take the 15 years, save yourself a whole gob and a bunch of interest payments. Okay, let's go into a little bit of interesting news. This was sent to me by a listener. And, of course, folks, if you want to send me ideas for news or show topics or anything like that or guests, you're always welcome to do so. The email address, again, is bvlhost@centurytel.net. I haven't been able to verify this particular article, but it seems to be credible nevertheless. So here we go. This is about Joe Biden. He kind of sticks his foot in his mouth, and he does it in a rather damning way. In the latest in a series of verbal gaffes, flub-ups, and super bloopers, U.S. Vice President Joseph P. Biden yesterday proclaimed himself to be America's first Negro vice president. Yes, that's right, folks. The staggering statement immediately sparked confusion and rancor in his audience and led to widespread calls for his resignation. The comment came late in the day when the increasingly unpredictable 66-year-old Biden is known to go off script and capped off a series of bizarre statements that put him at odds with the president's official policy. But Beltway insiders saw the breach coming. Biden was known to be unhappy about being recently excluded from important presidential meetings because of what some were calling inappropriate behavior. Well, what was that inappropriate behavior? At a meeting of Senate leaders a week earlier, Biden kept grabbing at Nancy Pelosi's neck skin, insisting she should have cosmetic surgery. Quote, "Don't let that turkey neck get you down," he said, grinning. Later, in a cabinet meeting, he had playfully gotten behind Barry the Usurper in a prolonged bear hug, refusing to let go until the president said, "Joe Biden's the best-looking vice president ever." Aides said that the president was obviously uncomfortable. The bear hug incident had been a last straw for the president, who was privately seething and decided to exclude Biden from future top-level meetings. But Biden wouldn't take the snub lying down and on Monday had vowed to be my own man, come what may, close quote. Speaking to a pro-Israel group that morning, he shocked reporters by declaring that a missile strike on Tehran was probably imminent, or certainly would be, if I had a damn thing to say about it. They don't listen to me, close quote. Interesting, huh? A missile strike on Tehran, if Biden was president? An hour later, Biden was at it again, telling a small group of gay activists touring the Capitol that he was ready to put same-sex marriage into the Constitution, quote, "if that would help heal our nation," close quote. He also said, quote, "But you gays have to tell your buddy Barrack to give me the access I was promised in the campaign," close quote. This guy sound like a loose cannon to you, folks? Sounds like one to me. White House insiders were irate and immediately contacted the vice president's staff, demanding the issue clear that he issue clear retractions before the day's news cycle came to a close. Biden's advisors begged him to reverse course firmly and swiftly with a press conference. Ironically, it was in an effort to do just that that Biden made what critics are calling the worst gaffe of his gaffe-filled career. Well, yeah. Gay knows how to stick his foot in it, doesn't he? Biden understood that he needed to apologize and make it crystal clear that he was on the same page as the president, but in the process, he seemed to get carried away. Here's the quotes. "Make no mistake, my friends," close quote, he said, squinting thoughtfully and grasping the podium with both hands, quote, "the vice president is appointed by the president and serves at the president's pleasure. And whatever I may have had to say or may have said to indicate that there was the slightest bit of daylight between my views and the president's is sheer hogwash and tomfoolery. I am part of the Barack Obama administration, period. So by definition, whatever he stands for and whoever he is, I'm a part of that, legally and politically, and every other way you want to imagine. And that's not my opinion. It's how our government works. Read the Constitution," close quote. Then he seemed to be lost in thought for a moment. Quote, "Holy cow," he suddenly said, apparently thinking out loud, "I'm the first Negro vice president." Well, that's your vice president, folks. I hope you like him.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
right, and we're back once again. Let's get on into the rest of the news for this morning. Of course, many of you have already heard about Sonia Sotomayor getting the tap for Supreme Court. It's got a lot of gun people worried. A lot more issues than gun rights, but the gun folks are definitely worried. Sotomayor here ruled in the United States versus Sanchez-Villar in 2004 that the, quote, right to possess a gun is clearly not a fundamental right, close quote, right to possess a gun. Of course, you'd think that somebody that has studied any of this stuff would understand the difference and the distinction between guns and arms, but it does seem to be a rather much of a confusion, especially in the gun rights groups, you know. But here another one, Sotomayor, was part of a three-judge panel earlier this year which ruled in Maloney versus Cuomo that the Second Amendment does not apply to the states. This makes her more liberal than the Ninth Circuit, which stated in the Nordyke case in April that the Second Amendment does not apply to states. So the Sonia La Raza, for the race everything, for people outside of the race nothing, Sotomayor here. It's going to be a real problem. I hope everybody is enjoying this. Sotomayor has a very anti-gun view. Even as far back as the 70s, Fox Cable News reported on May the 28th that in her senior thesis at Princeton University, she wrote that America has a deadly obsession, quote-unquote, with guns and that the Second Amendment does not guarantee an individual's right to firearm ownership. Another loose cannon. Doesn't seem to be getting any better. One of the ways that we can find out more about these loose cannons, however, is to go to the fountainhead, if you will. And this off of Wikipedia. Ran up there and took a look at this, printed it off. Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals. The author of this was Saul Alinsky. It is United States of America language. It speaks English, a Random House publication, publication date back in the 1971s. And there's an ISBN number for it, too. This is the name of the book. The title of the book is Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals. Wouldn't imagine how much influence this guy Saul Alinsky has had on many of the people in the usurper's administration, but certainly prior to Barry's taking office as well. But this book, this Rules for Radicals, this pragmatic primer for realistic radicals, is the last book written by community organizer Saul D. Alinsky. All right. Community organizer. Isn't that what Barry the Usurper was doing back in Chicago? Saul Alinsky, community organizer. Anyway, Saul passed away in 1972, and whether he passed away or whether he just ascended. Published in 1971, it was Alinsky's attempt to impart his theory and methods of organizing to the current generation of young activists, largely drawn upon his own experiences. I'll just give you a little bit more out of this. In the original edition of the book, the preface states the following, quote, lest we forget, at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical from all our legends, mythology, and history, and who is to know where mythology leaves off and history begins, or which is which, the first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom was Lucifer. Oh, my. Current edition of this book lacks this controversial preface. Alinsky wrote in the book's prologue, quote, what I have to say in this book is not the arrogance of unsolicited advice. It is the experience and counsel that so many young people have questioned me about through all-night sessions on hundreds of campuses in America. Maybe some of you have attended these all-night sessions, these seances with Saul D. Alinsky. Certainly some of our leadership in Washington, the District of Corruption, certainly have most likely seanced with Alinsky. But let's just continue along. Alinsky writes, what follows is for those who want to change the world from what it is to what they believe it should be. The Prince was written by Machiavelli for the haves on how to hold power. Rules for Radicals is written for the have-nots on how to take it away. So while some people are wringing their handkerchiefs and worried about Machiavelli, others are paying close attention to Saul Alinsky. It's a difference, again, between the haves and the have-nots. It's always a revision to, or I should say a reversion to, these socialist philosophies of the 1800s. Outlining his strategy in organizing, Alinsky writes, quote, "There's another reason for working inside the system." Listen carefully. Dostoevsky, you know who he was, Dostoevsky, the Russian writer, an anarchist in his own right, said that taking a new step is what people fear most. Taking a new step is what people fear most. You know, when I advocate the abolition of the established two-party political system, it just flies in the face of everyone's belief system, their faith in the political parties of America, their faith in the Republican Party, their faith in the Democratic Party and the Greens and the Libertarians and all the rest of the claptrap that follow. But it's that taking a new step is what most people fear. From that particular standpoint, I would agree with Mr. Alinsky here. Any revolutionary change must be preceded by a passive, affirmative, non-challenging attitude toward change among the mass of our people. They must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in the prevailing system that they are willing to let go of the past and change the future. Now I'm asking you, dear listeners, does this sound familiar? Do you feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in this prevailing system that you are willing to let go of the past and change the future? I might suggest that if that sums you up, you're a product of Saul Alinsky's influence over the last 39 years since he wrote this book, Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals, these community organizers, the change agents at work all across America, diligently boring from within. 8 years of the Jorge Bush administration, where the shrub just drags the whole Republican Party and the United States of America down into the mud at his level. Same goes with Clinton and Bush won. There's no ending. You can take it all the way back. You want to pick it up with Alexander Levine Hamilton? But again, very telling when we think about this absolutely futureless, frustrated, defeated malaise that lays over the mind of the people. We have to understand this was created for us. We live in a false paradigm of created reality. To bring on this reformation, notice the use of the word here from Alinsky, reformation, requires that the organizer work inside the system. Isn't that what I've been saying? You take it back from within. This is where it was destroyed. It's its weakest point. You work from within the system. You stand out on the sidewalk with your bullhorn and try and shout down the walls of government. You might feel better at the end of the day, but you'll do little to affect real change. You study all of these philosophical radical minds, figure out what their game plans and those that were successful and those that were failures, and take the winners and pitch the losers and do what we can in the short amount of time that we have remaining to make a substantial change in our system. Be right back and continue the process.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Esterlin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again. If you want to link through to this article and put it on your blog or your MySpace or your Twitter or your Facebook or any of those sort of things, or just post it on your website or read it for yourself today, you can do that quite easily just simply by going to Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, typing in your browser rules for radicals, Alinsky. That'll get you right there. Alinsky is spelled A-L-I-N-S-K-Y. Rules for radicals, Alinsky. Get you right there. You'll be able to see this very same article. Continuing from that article, he continues and he says in this lengthy quote, I should bring it back a little bit further than that. To begin, or to bring on this reformation requires that the organizer work inside the system. I mean, we could just spend the rest of the day and all of the week and isn't that what we do on this broadcast so often, is talk about all of these change agents that work inside the system. But he says the organizer must work inside the system among not only the middle class, but the 40% of American families, more than 70 million people. Again, this was back in 1972, whose income range from $5,000 to $10,000 a year. They cannot be dismissed by labeling them blue collar or hard hat. They will not continue to be relatively passive and slightly challenging. If we fail to communicate with them, if we don't encourage them to form alliances with us, they will move to the right. Maybe they will anyway, but let's not let it happen by default. Obviously, if he's concerned about losing the workers of the world unite, and he's concerned about them moving to the right, then I suppose Saul Alinsky is writing from the communist or socialist left. Alinsky codified and wrote a clear set of rules for community organizing. His rules for radicals are now used as key tactics to learn in the training of new community organizers. Remember, Barry the Usurper, so proud of his roots as a community organizer. He suggests that the perennial question, quote, does the end justify the means, close quote, is meaningless as it stands. The real and only question regarding the ethics of means and ends is and always has been, quote, does this particular end justify this particular means, close quote. Alinsky continues by stating several rules of the ethics of means and ends. Here they are. Just a few. The judgment of the ethics of means is dependent upon the political position of those sitting in judgment. Wouldn't you like to be on the judgment table? In war, the end justifies almost any means. White phosphorus? Yes. Torture? Absolutely. Judgment must be made in the context of the times in which the action occurred and not from any other chronological vantage point. If it feels good, do it, right? Strike while the iron is hot. Concern with ethics increases with the number of means available and vice versa. In other words, the fewer means you have available, the less ethical your behavior can become. The less important the end to be desired, the more one can afford to engage in ethical evaluations of means. The less important the end to be desired, the more one can afford to engage in ethical evaluation of means. You get that? Sodomizer? The Usurper? Jorge Bush? I think they've all sat at the feet of Alinsky here. Generally, success or failure is a mighty determinant of ethics. It's ethics is based upon your success. If you have to bend the rules to win, bend them. If you have to break the rules to succeed, break them. The morality, again, of a means depends upon whether the means is being employed at a time of imminent defeat or imminent victory. Any effective means is automatically judged by the opposition as being unethical. Any effective means is automatically judged by the opposition as being unethical. You do what you can with what you have and clothe it with moral garments. Does any of this ring a bell, listeners? You do what you can with what you have and clothe it with moral garments. Goals must be phrased in general terms like liberty, equality, fraternity. You know where that comes from. French Revolution, of course. Liberté, equality, fraternity, of the common welfare, pursuit of happiness, bread and peace. See, we always start to broadcast off if you haven't, you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness. We have to understand that the pursuit of happiness is a double-edged sword and that it was entered into the Declaration of Independence as a profound philosophical thought. Of the common welfare simply speaks to the greatest good of the greatest number principle. Bread and peace. Where would you like to visit? The Mensheviks, the Bolsheviks, Stalin, Lenin. Anyway, you can still get a copy of this Rules for Radicals, a pragmatic primer for realistic radicals. This was published originally by Random House, and the Vintage Paperback Book Club, I guess it was, picked it up. There's ISBN numbers available. You can go up on the internet, check it out, Wikipedia. Just type in Rules for Radicals, Alinsky, and you'll find that article. Here's another one, rather unusual article, something that most people don't talk about. Everyone wants to remember the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust, the Holocaust, like an industry. I mean, that's the way Norman Finkelstein phrased it, the Holocaust industry in his book. But sometimes we forget that the Holocaust that they have enshrined in the little museums here, there, and around the world is basically a smokescreen to hide the Holocaust of Nuremberg and the Holocausts in the Ukraine. Let's find out a little bit about the Ukraine's unknown Holocaust. This is from an article written by Eric Margolis, the Sunday Sun, December the 13th, 1998. This information's been around a while. You can go up to famingenocide.com, perhaps, and find this article for yourself. But I'll just read it to you and share it with you, because this is a Holocaust that is often overlooked. As Britain's socialist government cleared the way for a gaudy show trial of the great Satan of the left, Chile's General Augusto Pinochet, the 65th anniversary of this century's bloodiest crime, was utterly ignored. Leftists, now baying for Pinochet's head, don't want to be reminded of the unknown Holocaust. In 1932, Soviet leader Josef Stalin unleashed genocide in Ukraine. Stalin, determined to force Ukraine's millions of independent farmers, called kulaks, into collectivized Soviet agriculture and to crush the Ukraine's growing spirit of nationalism. Faced by resistance to collectivism, Stalin unleashed terror and dispatched 25,000 fanatical young party militants from Moscow, earlier versions of Mao's Red Guard, to force 10 million Ukrainian peasants into collective farms. Secret police units of the OGPU began selective executions of recalcitrant farmers. Listen to the numbers that we're talking about here. When Stalin's Red Guards failed to make a dent in this immense number, the OGPU was ordered to begin mass executions. But there were simply not enough Czechists or secret police to kill so many people. So Stalin decided to replace bullets with a much cheaper medium of death, mass starvation. All seed stocks, grain, silage, and farm animals were confiscated from Ukrainian farms. Here's a side note. Ethiopia's communist dictator, Mengistu Haile Mariam, used the same method in the 1970s to force collectivization. The resulting famine caused 1 million deaths. The OGPU agents and Red Army troops sealed all roads and rail lines. Nothing came in or out of the Ukraine. Farms were searched and looted of food and fuel. Ukrainians quickly began to die of hunger, cold, and sickness. We'll pick it up on the other side. A little bit more history hidden behind the veil of the Holocaust.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
And we've returned, taking a little look at remembering the Ukraine's unknown Holocaust back in the 1930s here. Joseph Stalin, now you might remember the pictures. Roosevelt and Stalin and I think it was Clemenceau and Winston Churchill. The big four. You know, the United States was making the world safe for democracy. Of course, you know, everyone wants to grab hold of the Third Reich and drag them down, but if you just can understand, wrap your mind around this, that there were many examples set by other world leaders held in high esteem and regard that perhaps influenced the decisions made at the Reichstag before and after it burned. But let's continue with the article here. It says... These OGPU agents and Red Army troops sealed all of the roads and the rail lines. Nothing came in or out of the Ukraine. You can imagine what would happen to the United States of America as we've developed this incredible dependency upon foreign everything if all of the road and rail lines were sealed. How long would your county be able to survive? How long would your town be able to survive? Recall how quickly everything left off the shelves during and after Katrina, as an example. Continuing, when the OGPU failed to meet weekly execution quotas, Stalin sent henchman Lazar Gaganovich to destroy the Ukrainians' resistance. Gaganovich, the Soviet Eichmann, made quota, shooting 10,000 Ukrainians weekly. 80% of all Ukrainian intellectuals were executed. Sound like the first few weeks of our assault on Iraq, Iraqi War II, Part B, 2.0, however you want to look at it, always the intellectuals and the doctors and the attorneys and the local elected officials are executed. A Ukrainian party member named Nikita Khrushchev, anyone remember his name, helped supervise the slaughter. You see how the party loyals get raised up here. During the bitter winter of 1932 to 1933, mass starvation created by Kaganovich and the OGPU hit full force. Ukrainians ate their boots, their pets, their belts, and bark and roots. Some parents even ate infant children. The precise number of Ukrainians murdered by Stalin's custom-made famine and Cheka firing squads remains unknown to this day. The KGB's archives and recent work by Russian historians show at least 7 million died. Ukrainian historians put the figure at 9 million or higher. 25% of Ukraine's population was exterminated. 6 million other farmers across the USSR were starved or shot during collectivization. Stalin told Winston Churchill he liquidated 10 million peasants during the 1930s. Add mass executions by the Cheka in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, the genocide of 3 million Muslims in the USSR, massacres of Cossacks and Volga Germans, and Soviet industrial genocide accounted for at least 40 million victims, including 20 million war dead. Kaganovich and many senior OGPU officers, later the NKVD, were Jewish. The predominance of Jews among Bolshevik leaders and the frightful crimes and cruelty inflicted by Stalin's Cheka on the Ukraine, the Baltic states, and Poland led the victims of Red Terror to blame the Jewish people for both communism and their suffering. As a direct result, during the subsequent Nazi occupation of Eastern Europe, the region's innocent Jew became the target of ferocious revenge by Ukrainians, Balts, and Poles. Seems that sometimes what goes around comes around. But of course, on Wednesday, we'll welcome back again our independent researcher, Daryl Eberhardt, and we're going to find out that there were other forces at play as well in this Stalin regime and Lenin. 6 million again. Now we'll drop down a little bit further. While the world is by now fully aware of the destruction of Europe's Jews by the Nazis, the story of the numerically larger Holocaust in the Ukraine has been suppressed or ignored. And you start to understand what the real purpose of the Iron Curtain was. Suppressio veri. The suppression of truth behind an iron curtain. How convenient. Ukraine's genocide occurred 8 to 9 years before Hitler began the Jewish Holocaust and was committed, unlike Nazi crimes, before the world's gaze. But Stalin's murder of millions was simply denied or concealed by a left-wing conspiracy of silence that continues to this day. In the strange moral geometry of mass murder, it seems only Nazis are guilty. Socialist luminaries like Bernard Shaw, Beatrice and Sidney Webb, and the Prime Minister Edouard Herriot of France toured the Ukraine during 1932 and 1933 and proclaimed reports of famine were false. Of course, everyone understands that Beatrice and Sidney Webb are largely the founders of British Fabian socialism, and Bernard Shaw was their publicist and playwright. 7 million people were dying all around them, yet these fools apparently saw nothing. The New York Times has never repudiated Durante's lines, and that was from Walter Durante, New York Times correspondent. I don't think he's any relation to Jimmy Durante. Modern leftists do not care to be reminded of their ideological and historical roots are entwined with this century's greatest crime, the inevitable result of enforced social engineering and Marxist theology. Western historians delicately skirt the sordid fact that the governments of Britain, the U.S., and Canada were fully aware of the Ukrainian genocide and Stalin's other monstrous crimes. Yet they eagerly welcomed him as an ally during World War II, or World War I, Part II. Stalin, who Franklin Delano Roosevelt called Uncle Joe, murdered four times more people than Adolf Hitler could have. None of the Soviet mass murderers who committed genocide were ever brought to justice. Lazar Kaganovich died peacefully in Moscow a few years ago, still wearing his Order of the Soviet Union and enjoying a generous state pension. Again, you can find this article at www.famingenocide.com, a rather revealing, though disturbing, article. As we move further and further into this police state, perhaps some of you heard over the weekend, in the last few days, some kind of a tie that's being made between the Jesuit order and Barry the Usurper's administration. As we began last week, and we'll continue this week with Daryl Eberhart, we've been talking a little bit about the rise of Catholicism, the bloody hands of Papal Rome, the Inquisitions, the Inquisitor Heretica Pravitatis, the Inquisitor of Heretical Depravity. Here from this book that I've just finished reading over the weekend, The Perfect Heresy, The Revolutionary Life and Death of a Medieval Cathars, written by Stephen O'Shea. He writes, this inquisitor of heretical depravity tore apart the bonds of trust that hold civil society together. Informing on one's neighbor became not only a duty, but a survival strategy. And for those of you who were fortunate enough to catch last evening's broadcast with Sean out of Australia, he spoke a little bit about the Neighborhood Watch program. Certainly we all have been warning about the rise of the babushkas, this tattletale squads everywhere, extending even into the innermost reaches of your local church councils. Well, we'll pick it all up on the other side with some Inquisition, and then we'll take a global view from a low Earth orbit. Stay with us. We'll be back.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned right here on our Monday, August the 10th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official webpage of this broadcasting network. And yes, indeed, my name is William Roberts. A lot of hard facts, lots of news. I don't know if we're going to have any good news in all of this, but, you know, that's the way it goes in this time of man. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, don't worry, you're not alone. Anyway, started out last hour on a variety of things, looking at what's going on and coming on us and at us. Started into just this little bit about the Inquisition. Let's understand that the office of Inquisition really is never closed. That's a window that can remain open forever. But again, this inquisitor heretica pravitatis, the inquisitor of heretical depravity, tore apart the bonds of trust that hold civil society together. And we're back into the 1200s here. For 100 years, beginning in 1233, the inquisitor was a dreadful fact for the Landoc life. His arrival in the villages and towns, the occasion for demeaning displays of moral collapse. In theory, no one could be punished if no one talked. Does that sound familiar? You've got nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear, right? The Inquisitor was powerless to act without denunciations. In other words, someone has to tattle on you. In practice, no community, especially not a rivalry-ridden medieval town, possessed the seamless cohesion needed to combat the power of a secretive tribunal. The Inquisitor arrived in town and consulted with the local clergy. All males over the age of 14 and females over 12 were required to give a profession of Orthodox faith, and those who didn't would be the first to be questioned. Where's your faith, my friends? Do you have faith in your Democratic Party or your Republican Party? Will you be questioned? Let me give a little bit of an overview. In less than 10 years, the Inquisition had gone from being an artisanal undertaking of a fanatical few to a proficient bureaucracy, employing hundreds and interrogating thousands. In Catalonia, a conclave of churchmen had assembled in 1242 to compile a glossary of repression. Here are some of the terms as they define them. You know, we like to define our terms on this broadcast. Here's heretics. Heretics are those who remain in obstinate error. That's right, my friends. You would be branded a heretic if you remained in obstinate error. If you believe that 9/11 was an inside job, you could conceivably be branded a heretic. Believers are those who put faith in the errors of heretics and are assimilated to them. A believer, a heretic, and then a believer. If you believe any of the stuff, if you put any faith in any of the stuff that you have read in your books or the things that you searched out in the revisionist history, if you will, you could be a believer. Very dangerous. Those suspect of heresy are defined as those who are present at the preaching of heretics and participate, however little, in their ceremonies. So as we stay up all night on independent radio talking and chatting and so on and so forth, you might be suspect of heresy. Those simply suspected have done such things only once. Yeah, but I never inhaled. We'll pick it up on the other side and inhale a little bit more of this knowledge. Be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and of course our telephone call-in number, if you'd like to call in and weigh in on any of these topics, is 866-841-1065. And in the Austin, Texas area, toll-free, 512, excuse me, if you have unlimited long-distance access, or if you're in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. Your calls are welcome. Going through a list here. It's not an exhaustive list. It's a glossary. It gives us an idea of what the inquisitors, how they defined their various terms. And those vehemently suspected are those that have basically helped out or listened or were present at the preaching of the heretics, but they did it often. So they would be those vehemently suspected. Have you gone to the tea parties lately? Got caught on the traffic cameras there? Those most vehemently suspected have done this frequently. Concealers are those who know heretics but do not denounce them. You know anybody that thinks that 9/11 was an inside job but you haven't denounced them lately? Hiders are those who have agreed to prevent heretics being discovered. Hiders. Concealers. Hiders. Receivers are those who have twice received heretics on their property. Oh my God. Someone that you know thinks that the Federal Reserve banking system is corrupt and should be abolished, and you let them in your house and serve them dinner and a tankard of ale? Are you a receiver? Defenders, according to the inquisitors here in their list, a glossary, defenders are those who knowingly defend heretics so as to prevent the church from extirpating heretical depravity. Defenders. Favorers. Favorers are all of the above to a greater or lesser degree. Pretty broad brush. Relapsed are those who return to their former heretical errors after having been having formally renounced them. So after you've taken your turn on the waterboard a time or two, and you come back and come to your senses after your brutal inquisition, and once again you start to question the established two-party system and their storylines, you could be relapsed into your heretical belief system and once again be a subject or a person of interest to the inquisitors. So you want to be very careful. You want to be very careful at this time. It's always important to know who we are and whose we are. Another little bit of forgotten history. Years and years ago, while studying and reading in the encyclopedias and looking at atlases and whatnot, I stumbled upon a very interesting little thing, a place in Soviet Socialist Republics, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, back in the days when I was still the USSR. And I found a story or a thread of information that I followed throughout the encyclopedias trying to piece it all together. But apparently, Joseph Stalin, looking for a place to park Jews, created another Jewish homeland. And it wasn't just for Soviet Jews. Jews from all over the world, some many of them from America, emigrated there and took up a settlement. But as often happens with Jewish people, for some reason, they weren't able to make it on their own. Even though they wanted to set up little collectives and farm and grow gardens and things like that, there just weren't any goyim around to turn the soil, I guess. There were no plumbers in the group, no carpenters or masons. So it had a pretty limited impact, but it survives today. You know what I'm talking about? It's called the Jewish Autonomous Region. It's sometimes known as the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. Some people call it Birobidzhan, but Birobidzhan is just the capital of this autonomous region. And where is it? Why, it lies on the north shore and bank, if you will, and above, of the Amur River. Over on the very most extreme eastern end of what is or was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. As a matter of fact, in a small airplane, you could fly to Beijing, I guess, Peking. You got a little Pilatus Porter twin turbo or something like that. You could fly back and forth to your offices, perhaps in Beijing or Peiping, however you want to look at it, Peking, China. Or you could fly over to Osaka, Japan. Or you could fly around to a lot of places, but you could live right there in this Jewish Autonomous Oblast. Now, the Amur River connects into the Sea of Okhotsk. I guess they'd say it something like that, which is connected to and communicates with the Pacific Ocean, but it's about the latitude of the Bering Sea up at that end of things. But Birobidzhan is not what you might consider being exiled to Siberia. No, Birobidzhan is below the 50th latitude. And so it's south of what would be Berlin and Warsaw and Paris and London, virtually. And because it's pretty close to the Pacific Ocean, it's probably mild temperatures, reasonably. But this Amur River is an interesting river in so much as that it makes the northern border between Mongolia and the Soviet Union all across what would be known as China. So there's a lot of commerce there. Pretty interesting place. There's also gold in them Dar hills and timber and coal and other things. Rather interesting place to look. But it's kind of handy that it was created. There's certainly more than one Jewish national home on the planet. So it makes you wonder if the Israelis are so concerned about the Palestinians. Maybe they would want to move to Birobidzhan and just solve the problem. they would have another place to go. But, of course, unless you take a world's view of this planet that we live on, some of these little interesting features go under the radar. Back to our text. We started this last week, the week before. This is just some readings, select readings out of this man's role in changing the face of the earth. This is an international symposium of the same title back in Princeton, New Jersey in 1955. We're continuing with a look here at this low earth orbit atmosphere, or this low earth orbit surveillance system. We might call it Star Wars or something like that, but it really is all just happening right over our heads. But it's high enough up that unless you sit out in a cloudless night and look up in the sky in the country where you don't have a lot of light from all the street lights in the city blocking your view, you can see all the little satellites and they just whoop overhead. Quite a bit of activity happening, just a couple hundred miles. It's not even a couple hundred miles, a little over 100 miles, in my opinion. Most of that satellite technology is operating there. None of it's really in space. It's all in the atmosphere, and quite low atmosphere too. Start messing around at high altitudes and things get a little bit warm and toasty. A little too warm and toasty. And a little bit too radiation burn tendency. But anyway, let's continue. He said, we should try to understand the fundamental character of the change again from an I-thou to an I-it attitude. Remember the I-thou? Our relationship with the creator of the universe, and an I-it, our relationship with Mother Gaia. We'll pick it up right there on the other side. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. But using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
And we've returned once again and diving into this article again. And with this particular article in this extensive book, this tome is 1,080-some pages long. But what this whole section is dotted with are photographs, aerial photographs. And you won't have the opportunity of looking at the photographs, and so I won't be able to describe them and didn't take that much time describing them, but that's really what was going down here. In the early 50s, when aerial photography and all of that was coming on, really better and better all the time, and aircraft were getting better and better all of the time. It just seems like yesterday to me, but, you know, it's ancient history to some. Nevertheless, today, you can do this for yourself and play around with it. Just fire up Google Earth and Google in on do your Google Earth zoom in on your nearest city. But then look over there on the other side, to the east, the west, the north, or the south, where it's just rural land, and zoom in on a small town and start to get the idea of some of what this author is drawing to our attention. But as he says here, this transformation from an I-thou, in other words, this overarching higher law that was accepted by everybody for thousands of years, the idea of living on a created planet, in a created universe, in a relationship with God or God or something, the Creator, and these Cathars, they had a rather novel dualist outlook where they believed that everything in creation was evil, the product of the fallen angels, the kingdom of Lucifer, if you will, which, by the way, can only be found in one place in the Bible so far that I've been able to find, in Isaiah. But there are a lot of people out there that seemingly worship somebody or something called Lucifer, whatever value that might have. But this transformation is important because when you take away this overarching higher law, spoken of so many times by the jurisprudes over the centuries, then it all just comes down to man. And we move from an I-thou relationship to an I-it relationship. And we start to understand this changing interdependence of man and nature and of group and individual. It's quite a shift. We're really moving into the Comtean stage of positive stage of human development in this shift. But, continuing, our author writes, as long as man was deeply embedded in nature and every natural phenomenon had a symbolic significance, the man-environment relationship was more a mutual adaptation than a one-sided conquest of nature by man. Quite a shift. In other words, instead of being symbiotic, we took an I-it relationship, and then we became, according to these authors, and in the way that they see it from space or from the air, from Google Earth looking down, it looks like man in conquest of the planet. Instead of being the good stewards, we just seem to be soiling our nest. Well, certainly, in these industrial areas, it does have that look. If nature threatened to get out of hand, magic was expected to help in the old days. But of course, today, if nature threatens to get out of hand, FEMA is expected to help, you see. You no longer make your appeals to God for mercy. Now, you just send in your grant requests and you ask FEMA to come in, and they'll be glad to do so. Since the scientific revolution, nature has been depersonalized. Now it's environment and ecology, right? And the awareness of the total relationship between man and nature has been fading out. Fading out. During the first 3,000 years of recorded history, and we've shared a lot of that with you on this broadcast, man remained deeply embedded in his natural environment. Nature and man, human and cosmic events, are merged into one, and man's experience is immediate and personal. The symbolic significance, our author writes here, of events and phenomena is equated with actual reality. This produces a particular concept of causality and of space and time, which establishes between man and the phenomenal world an intimate and reciprocal dependence. The external world is a great thou, capital T there, to early man. He does not search for impersonal laws behind the goings-on of the universe. Consequently, his approach is not analytical. And as we continue to study a little bit more about the rise of Catholicism and the Papal Rome and all of that with Darrell Everhart, we'll get into more and more of this. But we need to understand that there's a very, very strong desire now to move us into this new positive stage. The world of primitive man is still a living reality today and is still immersed in magic and animism. And I might add fetishism. Animism and fetishism and magic and all of these things are necessary as we move from Auguste Comte's theological stage through the metaphysical stage, you might think Scientology, into the positive stage of man's development, where all things are relative and that is the only absolute. It's a world which has no development as we understand it. Change means a break in the established and reciprocal relationship between man and environment and would destroy the unity between him and the natural phenomena. Have you perhaps gone to a park someplace, or gone to the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone, and you driving along the road and you see a park service sign and they don't call it a ranger's office anymore. You don't go in and see the ranger, Smokey the Bear, in there. No, now they're interpretive centers. That's right. Now the rangers are trained in sociology, steeped up to their eyeballs in it, and they're going to interpret what you're seeing. In other words, they'll give you the latest version of eco-Nazi propaganda. But that's just propaganda. That goes back to the Catholic Church, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It's proselytizing for converts. It's where the word was first come, you know, they first used it. Dropping down a little bit further here, it says magical considerations played in their lives, the early lives, an important part. The layout of a town was not only based on practical conditions, it was dependent on geomantic rules as part of the magical ideas which have dominated Chinese thinking from early times. Very important stuff. So you might be able to understand when you look at the city of Washington, Washington, the District of Criminals, the marshland there, that the layout of the town being based on geomantic rules, part of magical ideas which dominated the thinking of the Chinese from early times, and even our founders practiced the same stuff. I don't know, what is it called? Feng Shui or something like that? I've seen a little bit of blurbs along those lines where how you set things in your house has some particular bearing on the Chinese aspect of whether or not you're going to enjoy your environment in your home. That sort of thing. As if where the vase or the chair was positioned really had any bearing at all. But some people believe that it does. Dropping down a little further here, it says the burger, no, that's not a hamburger, that's a leader. The burger of the medieval town was the direct successor of the citizen of the polis, or the polis, metropolis, politan, polis, back to Rome again. The narrow living space of his town was the center where his whole life converged. You see, the burger's whole life converged in the center of the town. This was the beginning of sorrows. As we delinked from nature and moved into our towns, and we forgot where we lived, we forgot who we are and whose we are. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned, and our call-in number again is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to jump online with me, you're welcome to do so. Going back to this burger of the medieval town, his spiritual and practical activities were confined to this limited sphere, this little town. Family, guilds, religious orders, and confraternities enfolded the individual. The town was a community, a union, in the sense of brotherhood. You know, the old brotherhood of man drill. You know, if you haven't been out of town in a while, you may not be able to grasp what it's like to be away from town. I know that in some places all around the United States, I've traveled all across this country, into all of the states except Hawaii, can't quite hitchhike to there, and I did most of my travel by hitchhiking. But there are places where you can actually go to public lands and park your car. You don't need a big bunch of camping gear and all of that stuff. I'm not suggesting that you get heavily invested. Just get out of town and go find someplace quiet, surrounded by trees and a river or a creek or a lakeside or something like that, and just spend a couple of hours and relax. Let some of that tension, that toxic frequency soup that builds up in our cities and towns, let it just drop off. For thousands of years, we've been herded into these City, certainly during the rise of the Industrial Revolution and commercialization of the planet, we have gone away from our family homes and our farms, and we have found ourselves sequestered in these cities, which has given probably more foundation to this psychosis, this psychopathic drive that comes out of Washington and New York and other places, this psychopathic lifestyle that is visioned for us, than anything else. If these people like Benjamin Bernanke, I don't know him personally, maybe he's a guru or something, goes out in Stellite and goes out and sits on his favorite rock from time to time, I don't know. But it seems as though they are so locked up in their Washington, D.C. lifestyles or whatever that they can't see the forest for the trees. Continuing here, Christianity tended to break up the magical and the taboo links on which blood relationships largely rest in China, India, Japan, and the Islamic countries. Very important. Christianity has done quite a bit to break up these various and sundry links, forcing you into parishes, you know, making certain that you attend Mass on a regular basis. You've got to be back every Sunday early, avoiding certain foods, so on and so forth, tithing, all of that. Control, really, largely, and mind control as well. Elective affinities, continuing from our author here, assumed equal rights with consanguineous relationships. It is this voluntary association which gave a new security and created essential preconditions from which an urban community could grow. The herbs, you know, Pope Urban. Elective affinities. It is a voluntary association. You know, we talk about voluntary compliance. Silence is consent. It gives a new security, always safety and security, the promotion of a culture of safety, and created essential preconditions from which an urban community could grow. Even the colonists, you know, as soon as they set foot on the soil here, immediately started falling trees and building a palisade. My God, we must be inside of something. All of these dumb trees around here. Frightening. Of course, there were native people lurking behind the trees going, what on earth are with these people? What kind of a hodgepodge is this? Religion was the great uniter of medieval life. It guided men into the spirit of genuine communities, community organizers, you know, and made life direct and personal. Work and family life were one and proceeded under the same roof. Man-made and natural environments retained their intimate character, and man still felt that he was the center, like the earth, of the universe. Of course, if you're a Bible student, you realize that the Hebrews, God led them to believe that Jerusalem was the center of the universe. The entire universe revolved over the heads of the Orient. Never did clue them in on that one. But, of course, some of the Egyptians were wise to that long before. Nature is on a par with man. Dropping down a little bit further. Since the scientific revolution, the awareness of the total relationship between man and nature has been fading out. The awareness of the total relationship between man and nature, the interlinkage between man and nature, has been fading out in the scientific revolution. You know, the church has been at war with science since science started to get its legs. And there's a reason for it. Religious man receded into the shadows of the past, and economic man appeared on the horizon. Group consciousness weakened, and the interaction of the general and the individual will, not my will, but thy will be done, melted away until it led in the Baroque to the supremacy of a small minority and to the leveling down of the majority, the levelers of England, the levelers. A level playing field. We've heard about that 1,000 times, haven't we? and to the leveling down of the majority to an inarticulate mass of obedient subjects of the rising state. Again, this is from a symposium held at Princeton, New Jersey in 1955, Man's Role in Changing the Face of the Earth. And this is the opening paper presented for this symposium's consideration. The strong social and religious bonds which had enveloped and held together the small communities and which held created a unison of individual spontaneity and communal spirit, these bonds were broken, and the way was open to the social disintegration of the present. The new order. Imagine me reading a book like this, you know. You should see all the underlines and the highlights and the margin writings going on here. The new order had a far-reaching effect on the relationship between the places in which men lived, worked, and traded. Family life and business life fell apart. Work became the center around which everything else rotated. How's your life doing? Is everything in your life rotating around your work? Someone you know infected that way? Until it swallowed up the whole of man's thinking and feeling and dictated the cycle of his daily life. Until fragmented man, the finished and dangerous product of our time, was the result. Got up early again this morning, like I always do for these broadcasts, and went to the news wires, looking all over the internet. I'm reading these news articles, and I'm seeing this psychosis, this psychopathic writing, written by fragmented men and women. These financial gurus sitting up in their offices on Wall Street. Photographs that show that there's nothing but city for as far as they can see from their office. Is there any surprise this dementia has taken such a toll on our country and our people and globally? This growing disintegration can be seen in the loss of homogeneity of urban and rural settings and in the unrelated attempts at the exploitation of the natural resources all throughout Agenda 21. We talk about sovereign states having the sovereign ability to determine how they exploit, and they use that word, their natural resources. The exploitation of the natural resources in an I-it relationship. The new I-it relationship between man and nature has again destroyed the continuity of the intimate and personal contact between man and environment, and also the unity of thought linking the everyday events and the immediate environment to the order of the universe. Only about 10 generations separate us from the beginning of the scientific revolution, but this short period has created conditions of life which challenge the very essence of our existence. We face the disruptive impact of an I-it relationship which extends not only to things, but also to person. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we have returned once again, and so as we go into this a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper, and you get sleepier and sleepier, as we go into this discussion, you know, we can understand that whether you're looking at the city of Paris or London or any of the various incendiaries that have been built by man over the last thousands of years, Babylon, Egypt, no matter where you look, where you turn, have always been these great architects, if you will. The designers, but before we get all lost up in conspiracy and whatnot, just think of your own garden. If you do garden, even if it's just a flower garden, some people will sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and trying to figure out, well, where's the corn going to go and where shall we have our beans? And if you know anything about companion planting or square foot gardening or any of those sorts of things, you know precisely what I'm talking about. Of course, if you go out in the country and buy yourself a piece of land, even though you're just really leasing it from the state. You've become the serf on the plantation. But if you do such and get involved and invested in that, you know, it only behooves you to sit down and figure out, well, where will we build the house and where will I build the barn and where should we drill the well and where should I put the septic tank and where should I put up the laundry lines and where should I put in the mailbox, and so on and so forth. Where's the hen house going to go? Where are the fences going to go? And so you draw it all out. And then in the old days, most people today probably haven't a clue of it, you'd either take out a compass, get your declination oriented properly, and then you'd lay everything out north and south and east and west or something else, perpendiculars, etc. Or if you had a transit, you could lay things out with a transit, and that's where George Washington was that. You'd go out and lay out the land, and the colonists would come, and they would go out, and they would have a charter of land, and they would have a legal description beginning at a point on the 33rd degree latitude, and then east of the Mississippi, or thence west of the Mississippi, thence north along the eastern shore of the Mississippi to the such and such latitude, thence back to the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, and then south along the coastline, including all of the islands, to the point of beginning, a legal description defining one of the colonies. And then you could sit down like William Penn or something and start drawing in where you would have this and that, you know, where rivers come together, you would make a town, and here's a ford, and here's a good place for a mill. So you've got Millerton and Fordston and all the rest of them, and they just start, you know, rising up. And that whole study now is known, comes under the umbrella of urban planning and land use planning, and largely is the focus of sustainable development. And so we can start to grasp that there are technologies and that there are trades and that there are crafts and that there are professions that are ancient and new where people engage in these various and sundry things, and they actually create the spaces for places to be. And in doing, they may not be sitting there, you know, with a Ouija board and their glass ball. They may be thinking of things like, well, we've got all of these natural features here. We've got these views and vistas, and we want to take advantage of that. We want to be able to sit in the living room here and look over to the pasture there. We've got the kitchen window here. We want that to look out to the barn so that we can sit in the kitchen and drink coffee in the morning and watch as the animals wake up and stir about and things like that. Where you're going to place your orchards. Maybe you'd be able to have some lilac bushes outside of your bedroom window, so that in the summertime when the plants are in bloom, you can open the bedroom window and fill the bedroom with this wonderful aroma of lilac. Planning. Planning is not necessarily evil, but quite often, centralized planning has become a tool for evil. What is good? What is evil? We're not going to get into that. But again, back to this I, thou, I, it relationship. All of these thousands and thousands and thousands of new green jobs that are going to be coming on us and at us in this generation. Read an article briefly on the web the other day about how they're rating now the top 10 universities in the United States as green universities, those that are teaching green courses. We used to have to be concerned about those universities that were deeply involved and invested with sociology, changing the children's minds from an I-thou to an I-it relationship. And now we have them working even deeper. Not everything is a Harry Potter world. Again, the school of Hogwarts or whatever that's all about. But a lot of these schools will graduate out young men and women with their master's degree or their bachelor's degree or their doctorate's degree in green. I have a green degree. And they will proceed, just like so many of the school teachers and the university professors, to teach what it is that they learned, in other words, regurgitating and building upon it. And we will raise up a culture of safety in this country and around the world. And these are realities. I like to be a political realist as opposed to a political fantasist. There are things that are actually happening, very real things that are happening. The whole idea of moving people back up and away and out of harm's way, out of all of the floodplains, and rewilding America as we kill off the population, perhaps, as they did in the Ukraine, massively reducing the number of useless eaters, making it possible for these planned communities and these planned economies to get a foothold. These are all things that we have to dread and to look forward to in the next 10 years, in the next 20 years, in the next 50 years, not only in the United States of America, but all around the world. You might go and visit with International City in Dubai and other places around the world where whole new towns are being created along the green line. there are many different stages of this transformation. And understanding urban planning and understanding it well will give us a little bit of a clue as to what's happening downtown in your downtown. What the thinking is behind this transformation of New Orleans, for instance. If you missed the Oracle Unleashed broadcast last Saturday night, Doug Owen and Mike Chambers and Sean from Australia and Jimmy X and Guyman and Sizzle and myself talking about Agenda 21 and smart growth and Katrina and the aftermath. We talk about the fusion centers and the emergency operation plans and FEMA's multi-jurisdictional all-hazard mitigation planning systems, planning and zoning, international code councils, building codes, model codes, and model acts. All of these things work together. Tomorrow, if all goes according to plan, we'll be joined again by Vicki Davis, and we'll dig into her website and find some more interesting factoids to help you to understand how far down this rabbit hole we've come. There are decisions that are going to need to be made. There are things that we can do, like judo masters, to use the weight of the Leviathan and throw him to the ground. There are things that we Lilliputians can do at the ankles of Gulliver to bring this thing down. But if we do nothing, then we will become ingredients in the 21st century stew. Some of us will survive it, some of us will perish in it. But 21st century stew is being made, whether we like it or not, whether we engage or whether we disengage, whether we hide our heads in the sand like ostriches, or whether we get up on the wall and announce and herald its coming and warn people as a watchman. So these are some of the things that we can do. What are some of the solutions to all of this? First of all, you need to understand what it is exactly that's going down. And if you're new to it, my suggestion is stick around. A lot more broadcasting to come right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Until tomorrow, thank you for listening and good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.